Your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20 this morning. We're going to start off this morning where we started off at the beginning of the year and looking back about being steadfast. Our theme for 2021 was steadfast, and it's a little bit of a different thought about steadfast, not just being stubborn or fixed in our beliefs, but being steadfast when it comes to our spiritual disciplines. And so this morning I'd like to look at a couple things and consider how we did this past year. So as you consider the last Sunday of 2021, the last time I'm going to be preaching on Wednesday night, Brother Joe will be preaching for this year. And so it's kind of a reflection of what happened this past year, but also what's looking forward to this upcoming year. Things we've learned and things that we remember and things that we could work a little bit better on. Book of Haggai says in two different spots, consider your ways. And many times during this week, I like to just take a little bit of time to consider what happened this past year, how I did spiritually, even as our church, how we did. And then also looking forward to what next year is going to look like. So as we consider a theme, I'm wondering today how we did about being steadfast. Steadfast about things as we encourage you with Bible reading, prayer time, outreach, faithfulness. Not just that, but also steadfast in having victory over sins. Steadfast, the word means to be fixed in direction, to be constant, to be firm, to be resolute. That word consider means to think carefully about. So I'd like for us to spend this morning considering whether we were steadfast. And if not, what caused us to move? Here in Acts, we're going to go ahead and start in chapter number 20. We're going to go ahead and start in verse number 18. Actually, verse number 17, we'll go ahead and start then. It said in verse 17, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, this is the apostle Paul that they're referring to. Paul is headed back to Jerusalem. As he's headed back to Jerusalem, he is getting to a spot where he knows he probably won't see any of these people again. He's bound in the spirit to go. He knows that there's going to be hardship there and that he might even be arrested. He might not even make it out alive. And he says, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I had been with you at all seasons. So what he does is he's traveling. He calls out to the people in Ephesus and that he can't make it in there because he's trying to make it for the day of Pentecost. And all the pastors come out. These are men that he won to Christ more than likely, or at least people he has put in place there as they're pastoring these churches in Ephesus. These are men that would know Paul. They've seen Paul through the good and seen Paul through the bad. They've experienced what Paul has experienced. And Paul has, like I said, discipled many of these, or at least the people that he won to Christ has discipled these. So this is a personal meeting, and he's saying goodbye to them. So it's a time of sorrow, but he knows he must head on. And he says in verse number 18, he says, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. I like that verse because he says, you know what I've been like. You have seen me in all manner of seasons. And he's not just talking about the different times of year, whether it's summer, spring, or fall, or winter. He's referring to all the different things that happen in his life. The persecutions, the temptations, the good times and the bad times. And he's speaking to a group of men that would have known him. He's speaking to a group of men saying, you've seen what I've gone through. Look what it says in verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. He says, you've seen me, and I have not been prideful. He says, you've seen the tears. You've seen the trials that I face. He's seen what the Jews have put in my way. And he says, verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He says, you know my reputation. He says, you know that I didn't hold anything back. I spoke the truth. I preached the truth when it was necessary. I didn't candy coat it. I didn't sugarcoat it. He says, I gave you everything I knew that you needed. And he says, I did it not only publicly, but I also did it personally from house to house. What an amazing testimony. In verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's there. He says, look, it didn't matter who you were. If you were a Jew, if you were a Greek, whoever it was, I was willing to preach the gospel message. Repentance toward God, turning to him and placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. And there are some who think that Paul should have never went, that this was God's warning. But he was bound in the Spirit, I believe, is he felt like he had to do it. He felt he had to do it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a roadblock like what there was earlier when Paul wanted to go one place and God said no. And Paul wanted to go somewhere else and God said no. And then he ended up going to Philippi. Instead, he's bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He said, I'm not even sure what's going to happen, except for this one thing, he says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So he's saying he knows that there's going to be bonds and there's going to be afflictions. Verse 24 was our theme verse for the year. I hope you took time to memorize it and give it consideration throughout the year. He says, but none of these things move me. And what does he refer to in none of these things? See, there was temptations, there was trials, there was the what other people were saying and doing to him, like the lying away the Jews. Also, there were the people he loved, like the Ephesus pastors, even though he knew that there was going to be bonds waiting for him in Jerusalem. He said, none of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let's have a word of prayer. God, as we go back to this day and this moment in time, and we consider what Paul has been going through, what Paul was facing, the uncertainty, but knowing that there is hard times ahead, or how he calls his friends, his colleagues, probably many he's won to the Lord or at least discipled, and he's telling them that I don't think I'm ever going to see you again, but to continue on and not to let things move you off of what you know is right. And that, God, we would take the message this morning, especially in verse number 24, and consider those things that maybe moved us this year, some good and some bad. And, Lord, that we would consider how we value ourselves and the ministry that you've given us and whether or not we have joy or whether or not we're just serving. And, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And, Lord, as Paul was willing to say that it was for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that some today would hear and understand the truth of the gospel. And if they do not know you, Lord, that they would receive you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing that we can have victory. We're talking about being steadfast, and we're saying, hey, Pastor, if we're going to consider what happened this past year, we're going to consider whether or not we really were spiritually disciplined in our Bible reading and our praying and our witnessing and having victory over sin and being spiritually disciplined in the areas we knew that we needed to work on. It seems like that's impossible. It seems like I've tried day after day or moment after moment, and it seems like I fail and I fail and I fail. But the Bible says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it continues, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want to encourage you, any effort you put forth this year, anything that you've gone out and done and worked to read your Bible and to pray and to be a witness and in the Lord, it was not in vain. And it's something we should continue on doing. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because you know, even though sometimes it's labor and sometimes it's hard, if it's done in the Lord, you know what? It's not in vain. God can bless it and God can use it. Some may be disappointed because it wasn't as consistent as they could have been. But I'm telling you that you can still make the decision and you can still have victory even now. some things I want you to see about in verse number 24 is that first phrase, but none of these things move me. Paul is speaking about all the different trials and temptations he had. He said, but nothing took me off course. So if we're going to consider what happened in 2021, consider those things that slowed you down. Consider those things that slowed you down. I'm praying that at the beginning of the year, God spoke to your heart and stirred your heart and said, you know what? I need to be better at forgiving people, or I need to be a better wife or a better husband or a better son or daughter or maybe a better grandparent, or I need to be better in the Bible. I need to be better in my prayer life, or I need better here, better that. And if God spoke to your heart at the beginning, then what caused you to stop? Maybe God says, I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to miss any church services this year unless I'm sick. So what slowed you down? It takes time to reflect. And I know you're not going to get all the answers this morning. I'm praying that God speaks to your heart. But consider those things that slowed you down. Consider a sin that maybe slowed you down. And Galatians chapter 5:7 says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Is there someone in your life that has hindered you? Is there someone in your life that has slowed you down? Is there some person that is causing you to fail or falter? Is there some friendship that maybe you need to sever? Is there something that you need to do? Consider what it is that stopped you from reading your Bible. Consider what it is that has slowed you down this year, this past year in your life. Then make a commitment, not waiting till next year, but make a commitment that I'm going to do better. I'm going to get rid of those things that hold me back. I'm going to reach forth to those things that are in front of me. And I'm going to know that I can do all things through Christ. The next thing I want you to see here is consider how you view your life. Consider how you view your life. Well, look what it says in verse number 24. But none of these things move me. And Paul says this, neither count I my life dear unto myself. I don't think Paul is saying here that he doesn't believe that life is precious. Of course he does. He talks about that in other spots. I don't think he's saying that he doesn't even think that his life is not worth anything. But I think what he's saying is, I don't count my life more precious or my life to be more dear to me than what God's plan is or what God's will is. I look at my life and I see my life and I understand what God has given me, and neither do I count my life dear unto myself, saying that it's not something I'm going to hold on to. It's not something I'm going to hold back. It's not something I'm going to keep. It's not something that I'm going to kind of hoard for myself. I don't count it dear to myself. I give it back to the Lord. And we think about that. Sometimes we overvalue ourselves. Sometimes we're prideful. Sometimes we undervalue ourselves and what we can be in Christ. But one of the realizations is, one of the things that slows us down sometimes is our own life. I was looking for the preacher that said it, and I know I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but he said the greatest sinner he had to deal with in his life was himself. He says, I had to deal with all types of sinners. I deal with all types of problems, all types of people. He says, but the person I had the biggest trouble taking care of and making sure it was right and correct was myself. And I think so many times we want to view everybody else's life. We want to view what everybody else is doing wrong. We want to judge, and we want to be critical, and we want to criticize, and we want to do all those things, but we don't take a good look inwardly. And if we overvalue ourselves, sometimes we get to the point that we think that we're too good for everyone else. One preacher put it this way, we may not feel that we have accomplished enough or that we are unworthy. We may be discouraged by the fact that others have done more, or perhaps the problem lies in the other direction. We may face the temptation Paul did to rely on his strength and wisdom because of our background, accomplishments, or credentials. Paul speaks about this in Philippians chapter number 3. He says, in a list of credentials, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, is touching the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered a loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It's the same testimony that he's writing here in chapter 3 in Philippians as he's writing here. He says that there was one person who could count on themselves. Is there one person that had all the training, had all the credentials, had all the things that people would look at and say, that's a good believer. That's someone who loves God. He says, all those things are worthless. He says, I count them all but dung that I may win Christ. And he's saying, in my life, it's not about me. It's not about what I can have and what I can do and to get things my own way. He says, I don't count my life dear that way. He says, he understands that he's been bought with a price and he's going to glorify God with his life and with his body. And I want to encourage you today, one of the reasons why people are not steadfast is because they value themselves too highly. They think it's got to be my way or it's going to be wrong. It's got to be the way I desire it. And that's just not the truth. Even Paul himself is here. He's saying, you know what? None of those things move me. And the reason why I did not allow these things to move me was because of the fact I didn't think too highly of myself. I knew who I was in Christ, and that's when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. He understood what he had in Christ. He understood he was blessed with all spiritual blessings like it talks about in Ephesians. He understood through God's power and through God's might and through God's strength, he could be steadfast. He could make sure that these things are not going to move him. But over here on the other side, he says, but I had to learn to die to self. I had to learn to die to what I desire and what I always wanted and what my flesh desired. He says, I had to not count my life so dear to myself that I would hold myself back, that I would be able to be willing to offer myself as a living sacrifice. Paul is saying here that none of these things move me, and consider this year. How did you do? What slowed you down? Maybe it was yourself. Maybe it was something in there that you struggled with or that you needed and that you didn't understand. Maybe God can work in our hearts and help us understand that every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every man, and the Bible even talks about how the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I want to encourage you today, consider what happened this past year. Maybe it's not going to be done during the invitation time because of how short it is. But take it home and say, you know what, at the beginning, if you keep notes, go back and says, you know what, God wants me to do better at giving. God wants me to do better at serving. God wants me to do better with my attitude. God wants me, and then go and say, okay, I was working hard at that. And then, you know, somewhere, somehow, something happened that caused me. Maybe I got upset with somebody, or maybe I got sick, or maybe I got a little bit overwhelmed, or all those things. But something happened in my life that caused me to slow down. And I began thinking about me more than I'm thinking about him. And because of that, the commitment I made at the beginning of the year is something I'm struggling with, and I did not stay steadfast, but I want to do better. Not only consider those things that slow you down, consider how you view your life. This is one of my favorite parts of the verse, and to be honest with you, this is one of the things I want to make sure I do in my own life. Consider your attitude. He says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And it says here, so that I might finish my course with joy. You know, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is an emotion. It's something that someone can experience. It can range from feelings that are contentment and satisfaction all the way up to bliss and to even intense pleasure. Joy is something that is stronger. It's less common of a feeling, but it's something that we can have in God. It is instituted in something. I find joy in something. It's sort of like what's said in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that our attitude is something that really makes a difference on how we're going to serve. Paul is sitting here and says, look, I'm not counting my life dear to myself. And he says that I might finish my course with joy. How has 2021 been for you? How's your attitude been? It's not just about finishing your course. It's not just about being steadfast about the Bible reading and the praying and the serving, all those things. Because as a Christian, you're going to be miserable if you're trying to serve the Lord and not be joyful. If you turn around and you try to do things in your own strength and your own might with your own type of attitude, it's not going to be something that is that's going to be very fulfilling. There's a lot of disappointment when you serve the Lord with the wrong type of attitude. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul is writing his final words to Timothy, final words that were recorded in Scripture. He says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So the Bible is saying there, he's saying, look, I've done what I was supposed to do. I've finished my course. And he doesn't have regrets. He is even saying to this church of Ephesus, if you look in verses 25 and 26 and 27, he's saying, look, I did everything I could. I am free from the pure from the blood of all men. He says, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. He didn't give up. We see people giving up all the time. Why is that? It's because they lost their joy. They try to find their joy in just the serving or just in doing something instead of making it in the Lord. It becomes more happiness is an emotion that is based off of feelings of what has happened in your life. Joy is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, that no matter what's happening, it might not make you happy, but you can rejoice in the Lord. Even in the book of Philippians, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Proverbs 17:22 puts it this way. A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Paul is saying, I want to finish the course. I want to do what God's called me to do, and I want to do it with joy. Philippians 2:14 and 15 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That verse is saying that if you'll do things and you'll serve God without murmurings and without disputings, without trying to have a bad attitude, without trying to cause problems, that you will be able to be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of the crooked and perverse generation. We turn around, we get discouraged by the crookedness of the world. We get discouraged by the perverseness that's out there. We get discouraged by all the wickedness that's out there. And what the Bible is saying, that in the midst of that nation, you can shine as a light in the world. When can you do that? When you have joy. Not when you're murmuring, and not when you're disputing, and not when you're complaining, and not when you're causing issues. It's when you are shining as a light in the world. It says it right there. The Bible says, do nothing through strife and through vainglory. Happiness is something that people search for. Joy is something that God puts in your heart as you surrender to Him. The next thing I want you to do is consider your ministry. So this past year, did anything slow you down? How did you consider yourself this past year? Do you have joy as you serve? Last but not least, consider your ministry. You said, Pastor, I don't have a ministry. If you're a believer today, each of us have a ministry. Each of us have the responsibility to carry the truth of the gospel. Look what it says here. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. We have a ministry that God's given us. Not only has He given us, He's enabled us. Paul put it this way, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who have enabled me for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul realized that the opportunity to minister to others was a gift from God. Any position you have, we should be doing it with joy. Anything you do for the Lord, it's a gift from the Lord. He doesn't look at it as grudgingly. He doesn't look at it as something he's forced to do. He says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it with joy. He was determined to take full advantage of it. He was also concerned to live a life that was so much above board that he would not lose the great privilege of preaching the gospel. It says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself shall be a castaway. He says, I care so much about my ministry, I want to make sure I'm living right. He says, I want to keep my body under subjection. I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached, I'm going to be counted as a castaway. It's not going to matter because it's sinful. And I'm a person who's living a sinful life. And then I go and try to minister. It's not going to make the difference that it could. So today, look at those words. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again according to scriptures to pay our sin debt for us. What the greatest message that was ever been told, the greatest story ever been told. We've been given that as a ministry. How did you do with that this past year? My hope and prayer at the beginning year was, hey, Pastor, I don't do much when it comes to soul winning. I don't do much about passing out tracts. I don't do much when it comes about inviting people to church or telling people the gospel. And maybe inside your notes, or maybe you made a decision, I'm going to do my best to win someone to Christ this year. Has that happened? I'm going to do my best to bring a certain number of people to church this year. Has it happened? And once again, I know God gives the fruit. God gives the increase. I understand all that. But at the same time, if we have not put forth any type of effort towards that, how can we expect God to bless? So let's consider what causes us not to be a soul winner. Is it being fearful? What causes us not to do those things? What has slowed us down this year? What has stopped us from being faithful? What has caused us to have a bad attitude? What is those things that have made us be exactly what he wants us to be? Stopped us from those things. Consider your ministry. How did you handle the gospel this year? It is such a wonderful opportunity we have in our hands. We have the Word of God, God's holy Word, that he's given to us to serve him with, that he's given us to reveal himself to us with. But many times we take our lives and we view it so highly that we don't serve like we could. We don't serve like we should. So as you take these moments to consider, is there something that slowed you down? It could have been a friend. It could have been a business opportunity. It could have been any range of different things. Maybe you got sick. Maybe someone you know got sick. How did you value your life? Did you consider your life or the Lord's? Is it something that you said, hey, I'm willing to give this all to him. I'm willing to do whatever he called me to do. Or is, Lord, I'm willing to give part of myself to you. Have we really offered ourselves as that living sacrifice that it talks about in Romans chapter number 12? Then consider your attitudes. And I know different people have different attitudes. People have different personalities. I'm not really worried about personalities as much as I am people's attitudes. Do we have a love for the Lord? If we love the Lord, we're going to love the other. We're going to love his people too. If we love the Lord, we're going to love the lost also. If we love the Lord, we're going to love those things that God loves. And then, what about the ministry he's given us? The Bible says that we've been have the responsibility to go and preach the gospel, to go out to people who have never heard, or maybe you've heard it 100 times or 1,000 times, and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. Declare the fact that the Bible says that all men are sinners and all men are in need of salvation, and that God saw that we are all sinners headed to that horrible place called hell, and that he sent his son down the cross to die for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, died on the cross to pay our sin debt. And if you will turn to him, as it says in Acts chapter 20, talking about how repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, if we will turn to him and see ourselves as sinners and put our faith and trust that Jesus Christ died for us and that he was buried and that he rose again for our salvation to pay the sin debt that we owe. What a wonderful story. Something so precious that we have. How did we handle it this past year? 2021 is getting ready to close up. It's going to be in the books. It's going to be done forever. It got how many more days? Probably 5 or 6 more days to accomplish those things you committed to God this past year. I think one of the best things you could do is to consider this past year and say, take some time and say, why didn't I grow here? Why didn't I learn here? What is it that I could have done better? And then ask God to help us in the weeks and months ahead, that 2022, that even though the theme would be done, we're going to remain steadfast, we're going to be fixed, we're going to be constant when it comes to spiritual disciplines, because it's what God desires and wants for us. And with the Apostle Paul, we're going to say, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course of joy. Not just 2022, but ahead. I see so many Christians today that are not joyful. So many Christians today that are serving, but they look like they're mad at the world. And it's not about facial expressions. It really isn't. Different people have different facial expressions. It's a joy that's inside. It's your face will tell you what's inside your heart. And it's really important to understand that the joy of the Lord needs to be our strength. Not just our motivations, not just what we can hammer our way through, but instead that we might, that ministry he's given us, that we might take good care of that ministry he's given us, to testify of the gospel of the grace of Christ.